The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
How many of you guys make New Year's resolutions? Anybody do that? By show of hands, me, Veronica. Nice. Yeah. New Year's resolutions. I think I said last year, New Year's resolutions are kind of like promising to write in your diary. Yeah. It only happens for a short while, and then that's it. We had a couple of get-togethers over the past week, and it was actually supposed to be one kind of a New Year's get-together, and then it turned into two because it was so much fun, and then it turned into three, and so anyway, we kind of thought it would never end, and so I think we're actually going to do another one tonight, so yeah, sorry. No, they were very informal, unplanned New Year's get-togethers, and we kind of spent some time around the bonfire, and you know, it's one of those things where you roast marshmallows and get tired of just roasting that, so you just start looking for things to throw in the fire. We had a Christmas tree that was pretty dry because 3 days after we put our Christmas tree up, it pretty much died. So we put that out there, and Jerry happened to be over, and so you know, that's just trouble right there. And so the Christmas tree was still in its stand, and Jerry said, "Let's light it up." And I think the only voice of reason might have been Debbie. Yeah, maybe that was it, but I seem to recall something about, you know, fearing for her life, or I don't know, we don't have homeowners and home insurance or something like that. I don't know. Man, I'll tell you what, you know how long it takes for a Christmas tree to burn up completely? Wow. Less than 2 minutes. It was fast. It was pretty. Someone made the comment that the tree was actually prettier when it was burning than when it was in our house. So thanks for whoever said that. Anyway, so we have different ways of welcoming in the new year. Some of us are pyromaniacs. Some of us, you know, do it the traditional way with just, you know, a little bit of Martinelli's and a couple of noisemakers. So we did that too. We're talking about welcoming or kind of bringing in the new year. And you know what's so cool about having a relationship with God is that it's not just the year that's new. If you have begun a relationship with God just within the past year, you're experiencing new things that you've never experienced before. And I'll tell you what, if you're a person that's really following after Christ and trying to live your life in a way that honors Him, God tells us that His mercies are new every morning. And so it's like God is constantly making things new. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. The title of the message is In With The New. And so there is an old expression, out with the old, in with the new, and it just kind of the idea of if you got some old stuff hanging around your house, you would toss it out, you know, make room for the new stuff that you're going to receive. We used to do this thing at our house called spring cleaning when I was growing up. That was a lot of fun. We really looked forward to that too as kids when my mom would say, you know, oh, it's just a couple more, you know, weeks until spring cleaning. And we all had chores, and so we were already cleaning as it was, and so spring cleaning just meant that you were cleaning longer. And my mom tried to make it fun by, one of our favorite books growing up was Wind in the Willows. And have you ever been to Disneyland and you get on the Toad's Wild Ride? Okay, that's where that comes from. So one of my favorite books was Wind in the Willows. And so in Wind in the Willows, the mole does some spring cleaning at his house. And so in order to get us excited about it, my mom would say, hey, we're just going to be like the mole in Wind in the Willows, and we're going to clean this place up. And so maybe that's why we started the whole thing where we dug holes in the backyard, because we were told our whole lives that we were the mole cleaning up for the spring. I don't know. But at any rate, the whole idea is getting rid of things so that you can make room for the new stuff. When you're talking about your relationship with God, and I'll just be frank and honest with you this morning, because 80%, maybe 90% of the people I know that have a relationship with God, they're either doing one of two things, trying to, in every way, live their life the way that God would have them live, or the other half is looking for ways to avoid doing the things that they know they're supposed to be doing. So, as a matter of fact, it gets to an extreme to where some people would even go from pastor to pastor or church to church looking for somebody who would let them off the hook. Somebody who would say, maybe, you don't really have to do that. God doesn't really expect you to do that. And when they find that place where no one's challenging them or where they feel comfortable, where they feel like they're not having to make changes and not having to do those things, then they want to stay. And I'll tell you what, that's a sad way to live. The life that God has given us is a life of constant change and constant renewal. And so that's really what I want to hit on this morning, because I would feel bad if you thought that you could just arrive at a place in your life and just kind of relax. Because the fact is, there's constantly things that God wants us to be working on, and things that God wants us to be changing, and things that God wants us to be getting rid of, and things He wants us to be taking on. And so that's a constant thing in your life. And if you don't find yourself constantly struggling with that in that battle, then I guarantee you're not living the life that God's intended you to live. Not saying that God wants you to live a life where you're constantly struggling, but let's face it, that's the description of life. Life is a struggle, and life is a series of changes, or changes that we see that need to be made. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, I'm hoping that you'll walk away from here not feeling like, you know, it's time to make a New Year's resolution, but maybe resolving that every single day of your life, you're going to examine your life and figure out what changes God needs you to make. Father, thank you so much for all that you do for us, God. Father, you are truly an amazing God. And at this time of year, we've just celebrated Christmas, and we're so grateful that you came and that you gave us new life. God, it really doesn't stop there. Once we begin a new life in you, God, there's so much more that you have for us. And so I pray, Father, that as we look at your word this morning, that you would open our eyes to these things, that you would help us to see that your desire for us, God, is not that we would stay the same, but that we would constantly be looking to you and constantly be finding the areas in our lives that need to be changed. Thanks, God, for all you do for us. Open our eyes now. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, and there's just three verses here, so it should be pretty short, right? Well, we'll take one verse at a time and see what happens. I'll start with verse 22. Actually, I'm going to read 22 through 24 so you kind of get the whole picture, and then we'll focus back on the first verse. It says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." What a great scripture. This scripture is actually a description of the life that God's intended us to live. And so let's look at that first verse where it says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception." Now, you probably wouldn't choose those two words to describe your life. You probably wouldn't say, okay, my life can be described and summed up in these two words, lust and deception. That probably is not something you would want to have as like your moniker. But the fact is that if we were totally honest, we would realize that so much of our lives is all about us. It's all about getting what we want and what we desire. And the Bible describes a life that pursues things that we desire as being a life of lusting. It's anything that we desire that is going to just be focused on us. You could reinterpret it as saying selfish desires. Now, if you would say your life is not described as a life of selfish desires, you'd have to really, really think about that, I think. What about deception? Now, this is kind of hard because some of us would say, you know, I'm an honest person. And I believe it's possible to be an honest person and still be fooling yourself. I think it's possible to be an honest person and still deceive people. It's almost like we always have this image that we want to portray to people, and it's something that we're constantly working on. It's like when you have a nice car and you keep the outside really clean, but the inside, you know, you got the McDonald's wrappers all on the floor. It's all dirty inside, but yet the outside looks really nice. We kind of do that with our lives. We like it to look really nice on the outside, but on the inside, there's things that we really need to work on and clean up. Well, I think this first verse, when it says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life," is telling us this. We need to make some room. We need to make some room. If you're going to embrace the new life God has for you, You've got to get rid of the old ways. In order for you to embrace the new things that God has for you, there's some old things that you've got to toss out. Have you ever looked in your closet and just looked at the things that you don't need and that you don't use? Yeah, well, at our house, we don't really have very many closets. We only have one. And we looked in the closet this year as we were getting ready for Christmas. Wow, I did not realize we still had these things. And so we began to form a little pile, and we began to throw things away because we realized there's some things that we haven't touched for like 7 or 8 years. Let me just be honest. If you haven't used it for the last 2 or 3 years, you're probably not missing it. And so we began to throw some of that stuff away. Well, here's the thing. God wants us to get rid of those things that remind us of our old way of life. Now, obviously, this message is for somebody who has said, God, I want to have a new life. I want to live a brand new life. And once you come to that point in your life where you say, Jesus, come into my life, make me a new person, that's when the work begins. Because that's the time when we need to do the spring cleaning. Colossians 3, 7 through 8 says, you used to walk in these ways and the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. And that's just to name a few. There are things that are in our lives that are dishonoring to God. And if we're really going to embrace this new life that God has for us, we've got to get rid of those things. I love the parable. It's kind of a mini parable that Jesus gives. It's in Matthew chapter 9. I want to read it for you. He's talking with his disciples, and the question was asked by some religious leaders about fasting. And they said, Jesus, why don't you and your disciples fast the way we, the religious leaders, do? And Jesus answered with this, and his point in saying what I'm about to read for you is there are certain things that may be established and may be good or may not be good, but if it's not a God thing, it needs to be gotten rid of, no matter what. Here's what he said. He said, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. Verse 17, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. And so I have this picture in my head, and maybe you're like me, and when I first read this, I didn't really have an accurate picture of what Jesus was talking about, so I decided I need to do a little bit of research and find really what he's talking about with this wineskin. Now, the patch of clothing, that makes sense to me, right? You have a pair of clothes that you've already washed, and you put a patch on it, and that patch is made of some material that has not been washed and has not been pre-shrunk. Okay, what's going to happen when it shrinks? It's going to be too small for the hole you're trying to cover, right? Okay, so that made perfect sense to me. So then I get to the part about wineskin, and I say to myself, I don't really know if that makes sense. Well, I think our confusion is that we think of wineskin, we probably have this picture in our head. I have a picture of a wineskin here. You may have seen this before. It's a Spanish wineskin. It's actually called a boda. So you're going to want to write that down and save that bit of information. So a boda is actually something that they would carry wine in or whatever other liquid they were drinking. But it's not necessarily a wineskin. Jesus is talking about an actual thing that's used in the process of making wine. So what in the world is he talking about? Well, we got to learn a little bit about how to make wine. Now, this is not, you know, necessarily a lesson on how to go home and make your own brew. Hey, if you got the materials and you got the time. Okay, here's the deal. Wine was made by treading barefoot on grapes. And what they would do is they would cut out a place, usually in rock, where they could do that, and it would have a little channel leading off from that. And so they would crush the grapes. And so if you've ever drinking grape juice, then you may be actually tasting someone's foot. I'm just kidding. We don't do that in America. But they would crush the wine and then or the juice from the grapes, and it would run out into a wine vat. And it would sit there for several days, and it would begin this fermenting process. Then what they would do is they would strain it. And as they would strain it, they would, you know, remove all the bits of grape or whatever might have been in there, any kind of impurity. They would drain that, filter it out, and they would drain it into some jars, clay jars, or into leather wineskins. And how they would make the wineskins is kind of interesting. They would actually take the entire skin of a goat. And so you have the entire skin, And what they would do is they would sew up where the legs were, and they would sew up where the tail was, and they would just leave one place where the neck was. And that would be where they put the wine in and where they poured it out. Okay, so maybe you're trying to get a picture of what this looks like. Here's a picture of the Roman god of wine. Okay, this sculpture was made in the first century, and it's a little odd looking, but the guy is actually seated on a wineskin. Very odd. I don't think I would have this in my front yard, but yeah, maybe nicer than some of the stuff we have in our front yard. But as you can see, the wineskin is actually a full skin of an animal, okay? And you can see the place where the wine is being poured out. Now, this guy's obviously really getting into pouring his wine because that bad boy has, he's actually mounted that wineskin and he's pouring it out. But what would happen as the fermentation process would begin, and with the wine in the bag would get really swollen because during that fermenting process, carbon dioxide is being released. And so it would stretch and it would stretch and it would stretch. Well, it can do that because it's leather, okay? But leather eventually gets to a point where it will no longer stretch. It kind of loses that elasticity. And so at some point, it's done with. And so what Jesus is saying here is he's saying you can't take an old wineskin, one that's been stretched to its capacity, and put new wine in it, because what would happen? It would burst open. The wine would pour out. And so what Jesus is saying is that your life, if it's going to remain the way that it is before you experienced God, it's not going to contain the new life that he has for you. It's not a suitable vessel. And so Jesus is saying that those old skins need to be tossed out. They can no longer be used. You've got to take on a brand new one. So we've got to make some room. Let's look at verse 23, Ephesians 4:23. It says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And I would say this, Jesus is encouraging you to change your mind. Change your mind. Now, here's the thing. We change our minds a lot. Have you ever tried to figure out where you're going to eat? You got like three ideas where you're going to eat, and maybe you're actually driving to the restaurant, you're almost there, and then you're like, you know what, I don't really want that. I think I'd rather have something else. And we constantly change our minds about something. We buy something, we're like, wow, this really looks good on me. And then someone, you know, doesn't think it looks good on you, and all of a sudden you change your mind. This thing doesn't look good on me. We change our minds so often. We say, you are my BFF, my best friend forever, okay? But you forgot to call me. I changed my mind. This person's my BFF, right? We constantly are changing our minds. But we're not talking about that kind of change where we can't decide, we can't make a decision. We're actually talking about a literal renewing of our minds. And I put it this way, surrendering control of your thoughts and attitude to God's Spirit is key to living the new life. So not only do we need to make some room and get rid of the things that are in our way, but we need to literally have a complete renewal of our mind. We need to begin to think differently. Matter of fact, the Bible encourages us to think the way Jesus thought. It tells us that in Philippians 2:5. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And some versions say, take on the mind of Jesus. In other words, you need to begin to align your thoughts with the thoughts that Jesus would have. And I'll tell you what, if you begin to try to think on the things that are honoring to God, I guarantee that's going to become reflected in your actions. Once that change begins in your mind, and here's something you can't do by yourself, and so the Bible says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. So you've got to actually depend on God's Spirit to begin to make those changes that need to be made. And once you begin to allow God's Spirit to make those changes, once you surrender your mind and your attitude to God, you'll see an amazing difference. Let's look at verse 24. It says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. What's he saying? Imitate Jesus. Imitate Jesus. Your new nature is created to be just like God. And if you're going to be just like God, you've got to imitate Jesus. I would say it like this, the greatest example you'll find for living this life in newness and victory is Christ himself. The greatest example that you're going to find in order to live this life the way God wants you to live it is to look to Jesus himself. I'll tell you what, if you're trying to pattern your life after the way Jesus lived, and you're trying to treat people the way Jesus treated people, and you're trying to do the things that Jesus did, you're going to become more and more like your Creator. You're going to become more and more like the person that you're trying to imitate. You ever had someone who copycat, you know, they would do everything you said, they would repeat after you? Got kind of annoying after a while, didn't it? Yeah, little brother or little sister. Pretty soon you're like, stop saying that. And they're like, stop saying that. You're like, you're driving me crazy. And then you try the little one, I'm stupid. And they're like, you're stupid. Yeah, it never works, does it? Sometimes we're good at imitating things. I'll tell you what, if we could become really good at imitating Jesus, we would be living this life the way God wants us to. If we could just perfect the art of imitating Jesus. Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Now, we're going to be looking at Colossians here over the next couple months. It says, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. As you get to know Jesus, the more you get to know Him, the more like Him you're going to become. 1 John 2, 6 says, whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Is there a lot of people out there that are claiming to live in Jesus? Yeah, there is. And I would dare to say there's a lot of people that are claiming to live in Jesus, and they're kind of embarrassing Him, I think. And I believe we have a responsibility to walk the way Jesus did. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I love this verse. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. I like the idea of the old things being gone. If you could honestly say that there's things in your past that you're not proud of, but yet you want to hold on to those things, God is saying, let go of those things. Get rid of those things. Those things don't belong in your life anyway. They're dishonoring to God and they're not good for you. And so instead of being people that maybe would go from place to place and person to person looking for someone who's going to tell you what you want to hear and is going to not challenge you, I would invite you and I would encourage you to walk the way that Jesus walked. I would encourage you to do the things that are most honoring to God. And the first thing we need to do is get rid of some stuff. If I asked you to think right now of some things that you know God wants you to rid yourself of, I guarantee some things, you're already thinking of them. There's things popping in my head. I know there's things that God wants me to get rid of. I know there's things that God wants me to move out of the way so that I can make some room for this new life that He has for me. But not only do I need to make some room, but I need to have a complete change of mind. I need to completely change the way I think. And once I begin to change the way I think, I'm going to begin to act differently. Can I do that by myself? Absolutely not. That's why I have to surrender my thoughts to God. And I have to allow God's Spirit to control that. And once I begin to do that, I believe I'll be in a place where I can follow the ultimate example and I can imitate Jesus. If you're able to imitate Jesus in your life, you're going to be living a life that's honoring to God. And as long as you're on that road, as long as you're going through that process, as long as that's a continual work in your life, then you're living a life the way God has intended you to live. But I'll tell you what, I think if we're honest, we would say we've got some work to do. So, I mean, it's not just about bringing in the new year. It's about getting rid of the old one. In just a couple minutes, we're going to go to the Lord's table. And really what we're going to be doing is simply, it's a picture of what Jesus did for us. The bread is going to remind us of Jesus' body that was broken for us. And the cup is going to remind us of the blood that Jesus spilt. It's a beautiful picture. If we simply trust in what Jesus did, everything can be made brand new. you may this morning be reminded of or be thinking of things in your life that you need to get rid of in order to make some room for this new life that God has for you. You know that you have thoughts and ways of thinking that need to be surrendered to God's Spirit. And you'd like to live a life that's imitating Jesus. If that's you, you can begin this process even this morning. And if it's your very first time, you've never given your heart to Jesus, I would encourage you to just very simply in your own heart, just say, Jesus, I do things that are wrong. I ask you for forgiveness. Come into my heart. Come into my life. And make everything brand new. If you've done that, whether this morning, right now, or whether you've done that years ago, it's time to get rid of the old and take on the new.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You